United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. As Fairhill International Horse Trials gets underway, and with it the 4 and 5 year old Young Event Horse Championships, our guest this week is William Micklem, who is one of the judges, and I caught up with William before he left his home in Ireland to come to the States. William, welcome to the program.
Chris, well, thank you very much. Delighted to talk to you.
You will be here momentarily to judge the championship, so I wanted to get a little bit of a preview from you, if we can, as to what you look for in the young event horse, given that you have an eye, obviously, with the successes you've had with previous horses, to finding those with upper-level potential.
Yes, indeed. Well, I use my three Bs, first of all, which is beauty, brawn, and brain. And there's another two Bs, which I'll come on to a little later. But the beauty is obvious, you know, and it's what most people spend most time looking at horses for. They want to see a beautiful horse. But I think sometimes we lose our sense of balance, and we need a beautiful horse in relation to soundness. But just to breed a beautiful horse like a show dog is not necessarily a good idea. Some of the most beautiful horses in the world can't perform, and that's one of the conundrum for breeders. But I think if in our breeding and in the assessing of young horses we go beyond the beauty, then we can make real progress. So the brawn refers to their athleticism and their paces, and particularly as regards a high-level event horse, not only their ability to jump, but also their ability to gallop. I'm absolutely convinced that there's a connection between safety and the horse's ability to gallop. Just let me explain that. If a horse has plenty of gallop, it means that they can perform well within themselves when they go across country. Now, if you take a horse that's a little short of gallop and you have to take it to its limit, then I think you reduce the room for error, and therefore the rider is at a greater risk. So the gallop there is very important indeed. And then as regards the brain, this is the area which I think, you know, I keep saying to people, are we assessing the right things when we look at horses? Even the assessment of some of the continental horses, which has been developed over many, many years and goes to a very high level, I think sometimes they still only pay lip service to what I call real brain. I'm talking about courage, I'm talking about intelligence, and I'm also talking about a fifth leg. In other words, I want a horse to look after a rider and have the ability to do that. Now, you might say that a lot of this is to do with training and the way that the riders train, so that obviously a good rider and a good trainer can help a horse with their fifth leg, in other words, their ability to look after a rider. But a lot of this is innate. A lot of this is genetic. And I think it explains in major part the huge success of the Irish horse, because the influence of the Irish draft and the Connemara pony and the thoroughbred to a lesser degree have given the horse great brain. They're the sort of horses that look after you, and I see it on a regular basis with horses that are not well ridden going across country but totally being in control of the situation. And when I first saw some of the horses which I've Karen and David O'Connor have had, you know, it was their brain most of all which attracted me first of all. So horses like Custom Made and Gilt Edge just had exceptional brains. Interestingly, Biko probably didn't have quite the same brain as those two, but he had exceptional ability. So he had exceptional brawn. But maybe I was a little bit deluded initially because he was so wonderful as regards his ability, physical ability. Horse Harbour Pilot, which we bred here for Mrs. Mars, that has got incredible brain. And of course, of the ones that I bred, High Kingdom always stood out from the very start as having incredible brain. And I believe you can identify that brain at a very young age in the horse. And I assess all the horses, actually give them a mark as young horses, either as three-year-olds or four-year-olds. But in the case of High Kingdom, it was obvious from the very earliest stage that he had brain to burn. And it's this strange combination of being high-couraged, but also gentle and willing to work. And I think there are a lot of horses that are gentle and willing to work, but they just don't have that high courage. And that's a problem with many horses that look like they will make event horses, but they just don't have that element.
And if you know a horse as a yearling or a two-year-old, before they even, you know, get to start to perform, if you will, as a three- or four-year-old, at what point do you see that talent, those three things, the B, B, and B?
Well, horses develop at different rates, obviously, and some horses aren't given a chance necessarily, or the best chance in the early years. But I certainly think you can see it in most three-year-olds, and certainly in all four-year-olds, and four-year-olds, five-year-olds, six-year-olds. And that leads on to my I said there was a fourth and fifth B, and it's a B&B. It's what we call a bed and breakfast, or it's the hotel that the horse goes to. And horses are first-time learners, and you know this is the area which we can't really control, and it's really where the whole national effort goes in, as they do in Holland and in Germany, into producing the young horses well. So if horses are first-time learners, if they are badly ridden, badly prepared as young horses, you know, this may be changed with skillful work, but it's not going to be totally undone, and you will always lose potential. So there's a very good reason why the horses which I've been involved in have done so well, and that's because they're being with good riders. You know, that's a primary factor. So I have to see next week. I know we're going to see some high-level riders on some of these horses, but it's a positively good thing, because if the horses get good basics, they're going to be allowed to fulfill their potential, and it's very important to understand that.
Well, you mentioned there the fifth leg. Why don't you unpack that a little bit more, William? Because obviously when you're raising horses in England and Ireland in that hunting environment, they learn to adapt to and use their fifth leg.
That's right.
But as a very young horse, at what point can you establish that in the early training of a you know, three or four-year-old?
I would say at the end of his two-year-old career, in most horses is a three-year-old career. I have a 25-acre field, which is fantastic for horses, because it's a lot of it's on the side of a hill. There's water between the two halves of it. There's a little bit of mud, therefore, in the middle, and water they have to go through. There's a little bank, there's gorse patches and all things like that. And to see Mandiba as a three-year-old at what I would call a gallop, but not an out-of-control gallop, going down that hill, showing that coordination, showing that ability to look after himself, I knew we had a good one.
But when you don't have the hunting field over here, perhaps, you know, or in other countries that you have in England and Ireland, what's the next best option?
Well, those horses haven't hunted, so the horses must live out. They must. I know it's difficult sometimes, but it's very important as young horses that they don't spend their whole life on a flat surface. They must have room to move. It's absolutely vital and makes a huge difference. I always remember Michael Osborne, the legendary head of the Irish National Stud, and he fulfilled many other roles in Ireland, and a great loss to the country. But he was concerned with thoroughbred horses primarily, and in fact he started off the racing in Dubai. But he said absolutely categorically that the horses are going to develop both mentally and physically by being given the freedom to be turned out. And in fact, in his very last lecture, which I was at, he was a very sick man. He died shortly afterwards. He normally gave a great lecture, which would last at least half an hour. But he stood up and he just said one thing. It was to a whole group of breeders. And he said, if there's one thing I can ask you to do with your horses, and bear in mind, he was talking to people who have very valuable horses. He said, it's turn your horses out. And I think it's a key thing. But in training, when we are restricted with the turnout, when we get to the riding with the young horses, it's important to go over as varied terrain as you can. It's important, you know, I advise people round their yards to build banks, which is possible for a horse to go up and down. I have nice solid sleepers and things like that at various parts, which horses have to go over from a very young age. Get anywhere, and this makes a big difference.
Well, let's back up a couple of steps here, William, to the choice of breeding here, whether it's thoroughbred or what percentage of warm blood. Now, where do you head? Which direction do you head with that balance?
Well, I don't have any difficulty, you know, and I like to look at horses and not know their breeding, although I'm also passionate about studying the breeding of the horses. But I like to take it from separately, first just looking at the horses, and secondly to look at the breeding out of interest to see what comes to the top. But I do know that there's huge misunderstanding, and it's like the recent winner of Buccolo is down as a Selle Francaise. He's 77% thoroughbred, and that's typical of the German team, which won the gold medal at the London Olympics. The horse with the least thoroughbred blood was Sam, you know, with Michael Jung, who was 75% thoroughbred. And the other horses in the team had even more thoroughbred, up to Ingrid Klimkus, who had, I think, was neither 95 or 97% thoroughbred. And at the highest, if we're talking about working at the higher levels, you need a horse that can gallop, as I said before, and the thoroughbred obviously is a beast that can gallop. Having said that, there are some other animals which, with a lower amount of thoroughbred, maybe 40 to 50%, just have that ability to gallop. I mean, I remember you had a horse in the United States called Tarzan from Ireland, who was in the United States team that went to Gawler in Australia for the World Equestrian Games, with Anne Hardaway. Now Anne Taylor lives in England. And he was a full Irish draft. And my son rides a horse that is by the Irish draft, this particular Irish draft made the steeplechase time twice at Punchestown, which was renowned for being a very difficult steeplechase, and that was in the two-star. So you can have an ability to gallop and not be a thoroughbred, but the thoroughbred blood is a great help. And going to the World Equestrian Games this year, the conditions were just appalling, but you could see the horses that who get through that going, and the horses that couldn't.
Well, the recurring question, William, with the choice of horses these days for modern eventing, is whether you look for the old-fashioned stamp of a horse, or whether you're looking for a different animal, quote unquote, in the eventer now for the modern day, for the European style eventing.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I would answer it by saying, would it have been a good idea if on the American team? In Wegg in France this year, you had, for example, Biko and Karawitz with Jimmy Wofford. Now, undoubtedly, the answer is yes, that those horses would have been super successful. So if you take the best of the horses from the past, I think they would still be successful today, as long as they were well-trained, which certainly the training level has gone up a peg or two. And, you know, there's no doubt that you've got to do all three phases. But horses like Biko and horses like Carowit, would still be successful today. I would even say with lower level riders that it's important that I can have a horse going at the right speed, but being well within itself. In other words, nowhere near its maximum speed. And it just makes the riders safer. I mean, my wife rides three children and resumed her riding career after a long period of time, you know, after 20 years. She rides a horse that's actually out of a full sister to High Kingdom, a Mandeba. And I know that, you know, when she does the cross country, she's going fantastically well. She is going within the time, but the horse is only going at half speed. That makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Well, as I said, you'll be here momentarily to judge the Young Event Horse Championships at Fairhill. So what else will you be doing here then while you're over in the States?
Well, I love the States. A long time ago, I used to live on the East Coast, so I'm really looking forward to coming over again. So I'm going to spend some time with Karen and David O'Connor. We're going to do a Young Horse Seminar. I'm going to be talking to some groups of coaches. And also there are some work I'm doing with Micklin Bridal, which obviously has been a great success. And there are people that, who would like to see it explained a little more and things like that. But I suppose the key thing I'm doing over there, and this may sound strange, but because I have a period of time between Fairhill and between Galway Downs, I have the very rare opportunity of some peace and quiet, where I can work on my next book, where it's a coaching book. So it's sometimes difficult to find time for that, but I'm really looking forward to spending time. And I'm also looking forward to, for instance, seeing some people who I haven't been able to talk to apart from on the electronically for some time, including Jimmy Wofford, who I think is an absolutely master man of his subject and always inspires wonderful thoughts and wonderful avenues to go down. So I'm really looking forward to that.
An opportunity to share an adult beverage with Jimmy must never be missed.
I don't think I would be able to keep up with a lot of people, but I'll have a quiet glass of beer.
Terrific. Well, have a safe trip. Thank you again for coming on the programme, and good luck at the Young Event Horse Championships at Fairhill.
Chris, it's a delight, and I know I'm going to see nice horses. And out of interest, I would just add one small point about the type of horse. I know the winning horse is going to be, winning six-year-old is going to be going over to Lyon in France next year. One of my students is on the Irish squad of three horses in the six-year-old class. And interestingly, his horse, is barely 16 hands and out of a pony by the thoroughbred horse, a pony with some a big man of Connemara in it. But the horse standing still is small, slightly common, slightly downhill, with a big head. And yet you put a saddle and bridle on her, and I'd say she jumps well enough to be a jumper, a real jumper, and obviously is fast enough and does the dressage well enough to be on the Irish team, and there's a lot of competition to go to Lyon. So the good horses come in all sorts of packages, so and there'll always be exceptions, and that's the exciting thing, is to keep your eyes open for the exceptions. And whether it's Karen O'Connor's wonderful Teddy, you know, the pony, or whether it's a mammoth like Biko, you know, good horses can come in all shapes and sizes.
They certainly can. Well, thank you once again for coming on the programme, William.
It's a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you in the USA. Bye-bye.
And there will be reports and photos of the Fairhill International Horse Trials and the Young Event Horse Championships on the website at useventing.com. And you can keep up with all the news via our social media pages. Just look for US Eventing. This podcast is available for download from the iTunes podcast store to your smartphone podcast apps. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.